Houston, there it is. Got me?
Yep.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for making it out today. And all day yesterday was like, are we going to have church tomorrow? Looking at the weather every couple hours and seeing, it's only going to be 1 to 2. It's only going to be 3 to 4. It's only going to be 5. Get up this morning, it's going to be snowing all day. And I'm like, okay. But it's really not too bad. It's not bad, is it? It's not bad, is it? It's not. I hear very few yays on that. It's not bad, is it? No, it's not bad. No. Say what? It's worse on the small back roads, yeah. But I was vacillating between two teachings. God gave me a word a couple weeks ago, and I've been working on that. And then yesterday morning and through the day, as I was wondering if we're even going to be here or not, I wasn't really comfortable. Did you ever get that way, Tom, when you're preparing for a word and it's one that God has had on your heart for some time? You're like, yeah, this is what God has spoken to my heart for the next time I preach. And then the closer you get to it, it's kind of like eating soup with a fork. It just doesn't, it's not quite right. It's not quite there yet. Not that I'm going to file it and not speak it. I mean, I think probably next month is when that one will come. But God put on my heart another thing. It's a new year, and of course, that's not news to you. And, you know, we as people like to make commitments for the new year. We like to, you know, make, I don't do them, so I don't remember. Resolutions. Yeah. My resolution usually is daily every morning when I get up. It's like, God, just help me to live this day for your glory. I mean, that's my resolution, is to do what's in front of me the best that I can. And if I do that, then I can honor and glorify God and get through the day, and he's glorified, and I'm confident that I did a good work in him. As far as future goals, our counselor was very upset with me when he asked, Dave, what are your expectations going into your marriage with your wife? And I was like, none. He's like, that's wrong. You need expectations. I said, no, you don't understand. I had expectations all the way up until this time, and people time after time after time after time have let me down. So here, the only expectation I have going into this marriage is I'm not going to let her down. That's my expectation. Because, you know, it's like resolutions. I think resolutions are meant to be broken. Ecclesiastes says, what does it say in Ecclesiastes? Chapter 5. It is better to, it is better to not make a vow than make a vow and not fulfill it. Why should your own tongue bring judgment on yourself? And I was like, oh, wow. So that furthered my resolve in the fact that I'm just not going to do these resolution things. But with it being a new year, we have a tendency to do that. With that in mind, I kind of want to do a reset button. Do you ever have that, like on your phone? Your phone comes with a default setting. Your computer comes with a default setting. And you know, you have it for some time, and you customize this and you customize that, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is crazy. I got to just send it back to the default factory setting, you know, and then start all over again. It's kind of like what we're doing. 2 years ago, I established, and I wanted to put this on the overhead, and we can't, things down, okay. Yeah, can we put on the overhead? I'm a little embarrassed today. Do you remember when Joe Jansen was here a couple months ago? And he was like looking down at his shoes. He said, I got two different shoes on. Well, I just looked down at my shoes and it's like, my dress shoes are still in the van. So are yours? So it's like, I'm behind the pulpit. Nobody can see them. But these were the shoes I wanted to wear to shovel the snow to keep my feet warm. I don't want to wear my dress shoes because, you know, they're low cut and snow gets down in them. And then I just left them out in the car. And plus, when I use my dress shoes, when I play drums, my foot rides up the kick thing. And next thing I know, you know, I'm like kicking the worship leader because and I can't do the right beats. So I like to wear shoes that have treads on them because they stay put. And then I forgot to change them. And even if I remembered to change them. It would have been running outside to the van to get them, and it would have been very cold. Segway, I'm sure you guys are really interested in that one. Let's see. There is the New Life worship purpose and mission statement on that. That's okay. It'll take a while. It'll come up. 3 years ago, I guess when I was placed in the position of worship pastor, God put on my heart to generate a worship statement, a purpose and a mission. And I introduced that to the church 3 years ago. And now we've been going 3 years, it's about 2.5 years since I've done a whole series on worship. And it's a PDF. I'm not sure what you want to bring it up. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that has PDF software on it. I got into a series on worship and why we worship and what is worship and how do we worship. And I just kind of want to come back to that to remind us why we worship and what worship is, why we do what we do, why do we come and sing songs before we hear the word, and what is worship? You know, we, in worship circles, as far as a worship pastor, you know, worship is the 30 minutes here Sunday morning, you know, when this is just such a small portion of our worship, you know. You leave church, and it's like, how was worship today? Oh, the song, it was awesome. We were singing, and it was just, we were in the presence of God. You know, and then the pastor got up, and he had to speak. Wish we could just sing forever and worship forever, but worship really is everything that we do. Worship is just not coming together and singing the songs, although that is a good part of our worship. We come together, we gather together, and when we sing songs, that there's a different atmosphere. Let's face it, there's a different atmosphere when we're singing. And the words that come with music, think of some of the words. The last song that we did, it wasn't on the list. We just kind of flowed into it. Breathe, yeah. This is the air I breathe, right? How many of us pray? You know, God, you are... the air that I breathe. And God, I am just so desperate for you. That's like a prayer we pray every day, right? Probably not. I don't know. I don't pray it every day, although I wish I would pray it every day. Our hearts crying out to God in desperation. And I'm desperate for you, right? I'm lost without you. Is that the cry of our heart throughout the day, as we go to work, as we drive, as we get our coffee from Wawa, as we interact with one another? It's usually not. So when we come together and we sing these words, it invokes within us contemplation. It invokes within us, yeah, that's right. And we're reminded, and it of how we need to be devoted to God. We're reminded of our walk with God. How we have to contemplate that and once again, sit back, enter into his presence, enjoy his presence, be fed by him, be touched by him, because when you get into the presence of Almighty God, he will change you. Whether we do it in prayer, whether we do it in worship, whether we do it with brothers and sisters. If you meet with brothers and sisters, if you go out for dinner, and you have a good dinner, you have good fellowship, and you end on the way home or when they leave and you're left home, it's like, that was good. That was good. You know, there was intimacy, there was fellowship. And when we do that, that's a form of worship. We're encouraging one another. We're building one another up in the Lord. We're surrendering and submitting and obeying his word. And that's all part of worship. It's who we are. Worship is a feeling or an expression of reverence or devotion and adoration for a deity. That's basically what worship is. A feeling or an expression of reverence towards a deity, or a devotion or an adoration towards God. That's the noun. The verb is to show reverence, to show honor, and to show adoration. And we do that through many different ways. When we come together corporately, the expression that we join into and that we experience and we actually fuel and become a part of and participants in, that atmosphere is generated and it's fueled by each of our own individual devotions for God. You can fill this church up with bodies and have not one person who has a relationship with Jesus come in to have 300 people in here, put songs on the screen and sing hymns and sing a song, and the people will be just singing without any contemplation towards God, without any heart involvement, without really seeking God and really praying in their spirit. And you could just have a good song service and God is not worshiped. It's like a concert. You just come. Is it there? No. Okay, we're getting there. Turn on the you might be able to import it into the Easy Worship. You might be able to import it into the Easy Worship. I was saying we could fill this church with bodies, but if not one heart is rent towards God, then there's no worship expression. And God's manifest presence doesn't reveal itself. His omnipresence is here because his omnipresence is everywhere. And that's another thing we need to understand. And I also brought this up for those of you who weren't here 3 years ago. And for those of you who were, it's a healthy reminder. But for those of you who weren't, there's a difference between God's manifest presence and God's omnipresence. God's omnipresence is everywhere. No matter where you go, God is there. Psalm says, if I flee to, 139? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I lay my body down in Sheol, you're there. If you know, I could go to the furthest island, I could hide myself under the deepest rocks, God is there. His presence is there. His presence is everywhere. That's his omnipresence. But his manifest presence, where he comes and makes himself known, and that's the definition, one of the definitions and meanings of manifest is to make yourself known. What is a manifest that a captain does as he sails? He makes known, writes in a manifest, he makes known his journey, right? When God manifests his presence, he manifests himself and makes himself known. He reveals himself, who he is, the truth of who he is, his beauty, his glory. And that comes when you're either alone in your quiet place worshiping God. He'll manifest himself to you there. And I can say that personally because he's done it for me for 30 years. He's revealed himself to me in a quiet place when I've prayed in such powerful ways that it's changed my life and put me here standing behind this hunk of plastic, glass, whatever it is, to share with you how God has changed my life, all because I spent time in with him privately, hearing from him, reading his word, and him touching me and revealing himself to me in the ways that only he can. And when he does that for all of us, and then we all come together and we have a corporate setting, our individual walks and flames, I guess we could even call it, the individual flames that we have, burn brighter, and we feed off one another. And when God makes himself known to you personally, when you come and when two or three are gathered together, he is there in the midst, right? And he manifests himself there. When 300 come together and all have a burning desire and have spent time in the quiet place, and have initiated that relationship with God, when all of them come together and it's a huge setting, it's just a stage set for his glory to be revealed with the power that is there for his manifest presence to come and make change. New Life Church Worship Purpose and Mission Statement. Our purpose in worship when we come together is really very, very simple. It's to honor and glorify and magnify God. and to minister unto him. To minister unto him, that word minister means to serve him. Tom made mention of that today. You know, when you come to serve, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So when you come to serve and to give, you're being and doing what Jesus came to do. And as you're serving and giving, and others are serving and giving, well, the receiving part is just a byproduct of that. But you don't come to receive and take what you can get and then get out. You come to give what God has given you. Each and every one of us, God has deposited his Holy Spirit, and he has given each and every one of us precious gifts that he wants us to share with the body. There's the spiritual gifts, there's practical gifts, there's you know, the talents on the stage, there's talents that we have, you know, helping out, making coffee, cleaning up, shoveling, cleaning the bathrooms, doing overhead, doing the sound, working in the nursery, working with the kids. You know, there's so many different things that you can just put your mind to and put your heart to come and give and to serve. That's what ministering unto God is. We ministered unto him into the quiet place because we're priests, right? We are a kingdom of priests, right? A royal priesthood, a holy nation called forth to bring forth the praises of our God. And when we do that in the quiet place and we minister unto him spiritually, then he infuses us with his presence and his power, and we come corporately and we serve. As we serve, we minister unto him. And a verse that you've heard Tom say and me say, I'm going to say it again, Hebrews 6:10. God is not so unjust to forget your faithfulness and your love that you have shown his name in how you have served one another. I'll say that again. I'm not sure if I quoted it exactly right, but the premise is there. God is not so unjust to forget the love that you show his name in how you serve one another. As we serve one another, Jesus said, what are they, in Matthew 25, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. You know, you visited me in the prison, you fed me when I was hungry, you gave me drink when I was thirsty. Whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. And as we serve one another, we're serving Jesus, because whatever we've done to each other, it's the way we treat Jesus. And that's serving, that's ministering unto the Lord. And that's why we come together. We come together to minister to the Lord, to one another, in that God is glorified, God is magnified, and God is honored. He's pleased with that. The song service is a part of that. When we come together, we magnify, we glorify, we honor, we exalt through many different expressions God, and how much we love him and how much we adore him, how grateful and thankful we are to him. That's our purpose. That's our purpose. It's our purpose in life. Individually, one-on-one with God, to honor and glorify and magnify him and minister unto him. And it's our purpose when we come together here at New Life Church. All this has passed through Tom, so it's been previously approved. How we do that is our mission. We do that by affirming and encouraging God's manifest presence. And just right there, we'll stop for a second. Affirming and encouraging. Affirm the fact that God wants to manifest himself and have a realization that God wants to meet with us and come expecting that God is going to meet with us. And I share this with the congregation for those that are here. So there's freedom here at New Life Church. We want freedom to reign here. We want you to be free when you come to worship to not be bound to your seat because you're not sure whether this is allowed in this church or not, whatever is God is putting on your heart. And we all can tend to do that. We can all tend to just stay right where we are because it's comfortable. But sometimes God, you know, like, wants us to shout. God wants us to raise our hands, and God wants us to clap. And sometimes God might even ask you to dance. And God might ask you to grab a banner, you know. God may very well ask you to come and lay at the altar. While we're worshiping, you're really just sensing his presence, and he says, come kneel before me. You're free to do that. Here at New Life Church, we want the expression of where God has you in the moment for you to be free in doing that. I'm going to get to some guidelines with that in a little bit, but that's one of the points that's driving me to share this once again. I shared this a couple years ago, and we're moving, we're growing in our worship. We can see our worship developing, and we're becoming intimate, and it's really a blessing that the team that we have, the team that serves, is such a blessing to me. And their hearts, the willingness to do whatever is asked of them is amazing. And I'm very grateful for each and every member of the worship team and their willingness to serve. And in doing that, there's an atmosphere that gets created where God's presence is here. And how we express that, we don't want to put limits or inhibitions or fears or anything that would bind you from expressing what God has put on your heart in your adoration to him. If you love him and he's calling you to express it in a certain way, then who for me to hinder that would be it would be wrong for us as leaders to try and control that to a certain extent. And we have to be very careful that things are done orderly, but we honor and glorify and magnify God by affirming and encouraging his manifest presence. We want it here, and we encourage it. We anticipate for it. We look for it, personally and corporately. Once again, personally and corporately. If you don't have it personally, it's going to limit what's going to happen corporately. I'm reminded of the children's song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? And the more light, you take one candle, turn out all the lights, it's midnight, there's stars are covered, there's no moon, and there's a blackout, there's no electricity, and you light one candle in this sanctuary. And then another candle comes in. Next thing you got 150, 200, 300 candles. The whole room lights up. When there's one candle, it's just one candle, that's all you see. It's the same with worship. When personally you're on fire and you're the only one here out of 500 people or in a congregation where you're the only one, God will be honored and glorified to that amount that fire is burning. But when all these fires come together, it's just blazing. You know, and we want his presence to come personally, primarily personally, because that's what we bring with us. This is about corporate worship and where we are as a church in corporate worship and what we would like to see. But if you don't bring it with you, then you've got nothing to give. You can't give something you don't have. Through quiet inner worship, this is to affirm and encourage God's manifest presence personally and corporately through quiet inner worship, as well as through outward, audible, and visual, audible and visual praise to him. We don't stand in judgment. And us on the worship team don't stand in judgment on how God moves on your heart to worship. When I first got saved and when I first was a worship leader, I was very, what's the right word? Discouraged, I guess. When people were like this during worship the whole time. No raising of hands, no shouting, no clapping, no excitement, no movement. And I'm up front, giving it my all, and are you standing here like this? And I'm like, that was dead. That went nowhere. But I'm wrong. I was wrong in that, because I'm not a heart reader. God knows our heart, right? And we want to affirm and encourage God's manifest presence personally and corporately through quiet inner worship. And if that's what God is calling you to, praise his name. And people standing there like this, if their hearts are towards God and he's ministering to them, well, then that's proper. And that's good. And that's what we want. If God wants you to clap, that's good. And that's what we want. If God wants you to kneel down, well, that's good. Because that's what God wants. We want what God wants. And God wants your heart. He wants you. He wants me, right? We want what God wants. God wants to touch us and bring us into places that we've never been before with him. And that comes in a myriad of ways. I may have a piece of paper later to put down your emails if you want me to send this to you, but I got a plethora of ways that we can do it. I'm going to explain them in just a second. I'm continuing on with this. Our goal is to honor, glorify, and magnify God, to minister unto him. Our way to do it is by affirming and encouraging God's manifest presence, personally and corporately, through quiet inner worship as well as through outward, audible, and visual praise to him. And there's scriptures that go with it. I could also send this to you. I should probably hang it up out in the hallway. Tom, we should probably do that. Remind me to do that. That way it's like always there to remind us. Another way that we do it is to provide the congregation with a biblical venue to do just that, honor, glorify, and magnify God. How? Through our gifts and our talents in our mutual service to God and to one another. It's pretty plain and pretty simple. I think my Hebrews scripture is on there, isn't it? Down at the bottom. Did I put the Hebrews scripture on there? There it is. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. If we say we love God whom we can't see, and we don't love our brother whom we can see, the Bible calls us liars. I love 1 John. He's just so blunt, you know. He's just when I first read that, I was like, whoa, that's pretty harsh. It's like, okay, you say you love God, but you don't walk in obedience. You don't love him. It's like, whoa. You kind of like know where you're at with the Apostle John. I like the Apostle John. He's straight. He's forward, black and white. He was probably someone who moved in the prophetic, you know. Definite yes, definite no. There's no gray area. My boss, he's a gray area guy. You know? It's like, there's no right, there's no wrong, there's always a gray area, because even if you do something right, you could end up in court and have a judge who's going to rule against you because he's kind of like a gray judge. You know? And you could have done things properly and done things right, but now you're still going to have to pay your attorney, and they may rule against you even though you did things right, because the world is a gray world. It's not so black and white. Prophets are not that way. Prophets are, thus saith the Lord, walk ye in it. And they're the guys that you see on the street corners in New York City, you know, hellfire and brimstone, you know. Get saved or burn in hell, right? There's no, this side or that side, no gray area. John was that way. If you say you love God whom you can't see, but you don't love your brother whom you can see, well, you're a liar. You don't love God, you know. And right here it tells us how our love for God works and how our honor for God works and how we minister unto the Lord by serving one another. Amen? That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Where do I want to go? Well, it doesn't matter where I want to go. Lord, what do you want me to do? It's 20 after. No, that was it. I tried to keep it simple to one page. I didn't want it to be overbearing. But I wanted it to be right to the point. That's our purpose and why we worship here corporately and our mission on how we do it. One point that I want to make before I get into some into some expressions that are okay here within the corporate setting, is that you can come, you can have people join together, not necessarily you, but you can have a group of people join together, because I don't necessarily want to put everybody into this boat, you know, especially those who come here, because I believe everyone that comes really wants to be right with God. But we can come, not be in relationship with God, put on as, sorry to take my hand warmers from you for a second. My wife has her hands in my pockets in many ways. Anyway, this isn't working. See, it's not working. See, this is kind of like my Jesus coat, but I'm having problems putting it on. But that's good, because it's a good example. I know the cord is in the way. But we come, we don't have a relationship with the Lord, but we want to put our Lord coat on and our face on, but we're not quite wearing it right, and it may not be obvious to others, but it's obvious to God that we're putting on the show. It's kind of like the guys was it in Acts where the sons of Sceva, right? They were out casting out spirits and doing things in the name of Jesus, but the spirits were like, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They didn't have the power of God in them. They didn't have a submissive heart to the Lord, and the demons knew it. Or the demon knew it, and there were seven sons, and he said, like, Paul I know and the Holy Spirit I know, but I don't recognize Paul or the Holy Spirit in you. But they're going around in the name of Jesus doing things, and the demon, like, really beat them up. And that's a nice way of putting it. I think they ran out naked. Like, he really hurt them. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the age, you know, that people are going to be standing in front of him, and he's going to say to some, you know, come into your Father's glory, well done, good and faithful servant. And others, he's going to say, away from me, for I never knew you. And they're like, but Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did many miracles in your name. You know, we prophesied in your name. So there are people that are in the church who don't have a relationship with God, who move in the power of God, because God can't deny himself. Even when we're faithless, God remains faithful because he can't deny himself. If they're going to preach the name of Jesus, Jesus will move, even though the power is not in them and they don't have a relationship with him. This I can't understand, but this is how God works. What did Paul say? Or what did Jesus say? Somebody said, I wasn't sure it was Paul or Jesus. The disciples came and said, well, somebody's preaching in your name and they don't even know you. And he said, whether they're being preached by people that know me or Christ is being preached by people that do, Christ is being preached. Okay? Either way, Christ is being preached. The word is getting out there. How God works that out, that's one of the questions I'm going to have for him. It's beyond my mind how God uses people that don't have a relationship with him, but the word says he does. So we can come, not have a relationship with God, put on our Jesus coat and pretend that we do, move in some of the giftings because we're corporately together and God wants to encourage. But without that relationship in Christ, God's not glorified, God's not magnified. The only thing he's glorified in is the fact that his name is getting out there, but he's not glorified and magnified in the heart of the individual that's not in relationship with him. It's just a game. Get away from me, for I never knew you. It's one of the scariest things for me as a believer. You know, when you face God, he's going to say, get away from me, for I never knew you. Or he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And I know which one I want to hear. Pointing to the wrong right and left as far as my right and left, but this is your right, so those are the sheep and these are the goats. So that kind of worked. The point that I'm getting to here is that our worship is only acceptable through the work of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. We can pretend all we want, but if we don't have a relationship with God and we're not depending on that work that Jesus has done for us, then it's pointless. as far as communicating and truly having a heart connection and worshiping with God. Hebrews 10, 19, 22 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, Christ's body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ himself, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." Our access to God is only available to us through the work of what Jesus did. If we want to access his manifest presence and experience the manifest power presence of God, it can only happen through the work of what Jesus Christ did. 1 Peter 2:5, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy, a holy priesthood, an offering of spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Our offerings are acceptable to God only through what Christ has done on the cross. That's a very, very important point that I don't want you to miss, because that fuels your personal, intimate relationship with God. It's important that we have that realization that our relationship with God is the most important thing, and that's the only way through Jesus Christ that we can have relationship with God. That's why Jesus Christ came, that we could enter back into relationship with him, because we had a broken relationship. We were born into sin. Our sins have separated us from God. They have created a separation that we are no longer in relationship with God. And Jesus Christ came to pay the price to redeem us back to God. And it's important that we recognize that. Bob Coughlin, in a book that he wrote in 2008, in a book called Worship Matters, "All of our offerings are humbled by the work of Christ because they would be unacceptable to God without him. All our offerings are exalted because when they are joined with the atoning sacrifice of Christ, God accepts them. It's not the excellence of our offering that makes our worship acceptable, but the excellence of Christ." Let me make that point. It's not the excellence of us and the perfection of what we can do that God gets glorified. God gets glorified because our heart is willing to glorify and honor and magnify him through Christ, the perfected work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our worship is accepted not on the basis of what we have done, but on the basis of what Christ has done. Harold Best went on to say that the out-of-tune singing of an ordinary believer, the hymnic chant of an aborigine, the open frankness of a primitive art piece, the nearly transcendent kyrie of a Bach B minor mass. Did I say that right? Carrier. The praise choruses of the charismatic, the drum praise of the Cameroonian, everything from the widow's mite to the pouring out ointment of artistic action are at once humbled and exalted by the strong saving work of Jesus Christ. We have to realize that all that we do has got to be unto him. In wrapping up, when we come together in corporate worship, there's a freedom to express what God is moving on your heart. If he wants you to shout, if he wants you to cry out, if he wants you to shout a praise and, raise your hand, kneel, lay at the altar, clap, run, laugh, cry, that's all acceptable if God is calling you to do it. Right, Pastor? Just getting the yoke. Just. But it needs to be done in order. 1 Corinthians tells us that everything that is done must be done in order. Let me give you an example of something out of order. This last song we were singing again. This is the air I breathe. It's quiet. It's contemplative. You're kind of swaying back and forth. Your eyes are closed. Yes, and I'm desperate for you. And your heart's like, yes, Lord, I'm desperate for you. And then all of a sudden you hear, praise the Lord! Praise you, Jesus! And someone's running around the room. It's okay to run. It's okay to shout. Those are biblical expressions. But wrong moment. Okay, wrong moment. It's a moment of contemplation. Anything and everything that we do, whether it be in worship setting or whether it be outside, if it draws attention to you, it draws attention away from God. And our goal is to draw attention to God, right? Our purpose is to honor and glorify and magnify God and minister unto Him. So everything that we do needs to be done in order, needs to be done in propriety. So weigh what God is putting on your heart, and if you're in a quiet contemplative moment and God is saying, shout unto me, probably like as the song ends, you'll have an opportunity to shout because we'll get to the end and there will be usually a swelling up of the music to where you can clap and then release it then. But if you do something that takes away, it takes away from everybody's focus on God, and all of a sudden, then it just knocks them right out of worship. It's like, and then everybody's looking at you. That's improper. That's an example of impropriety in worship. Everything's got to be done with decency and with order. Acceptable, biblical outward expressions of worship. My first teaching, I think I had 4 pages. I cut this down to 2 2/3. Because these are just the outward expressions. There's a lot of inward expressions. But we ascribe to God authority, honor, glory, greatness, majesty, power, salvation, splendor, strength, wealth, and wisdom. We ascribe that to Him. It's His. We recognize it's His, and we speak of that. We say that. We wave banners. We can beat our breast. We can bow down and kneel. We celebrate, make merry. We clap. We dance. We declare. We declare. Declaring is declaring, speaking it out. Use the voice and the lips and the words and the language God gave you. You declare it, right? His deeds, His faithfulness, His glory, His goodness, His greatness, His power, His love, His majesty, His mighty acts, His name, His splendor, His strength, His victory, and His worth. We exalt Him, we lift Him up, we extol Him with enthusiasm. Extol means enthusiastic. We exalt, which is a jubilant praise. We can put our face between our knees. We can fall down, lie prostrate. We can raise hands. We can sing hymns using instruments, cornets, cymbals, dulcimers, harps, lutes, pipes, shofar, strings, guitars, timbrel. They have 10-string lyre. That's what I'm calling a guitar. A timbrel, a trumpet, a tambourine, wood, and also being skillful on the instrument. Earlier I said, and I'm going to throw this in here. Earlier I said it doesn't matter. Your praise is not accepted on your excellence. It's accepted on the excellence of Christ. But when we do make our offering, God does expect us to give Him our best. He does expect excellence in our offering. He doesn't want a sloppy offering. So, be mindful of that, but don't put the emphasis on the excellence of your worship as that being the reason why it's accepted by God. Our worship is not accepted by God because we did it excellently. Our worship is acceptable to God because of what Jesus Christ did, because of His perfection. When we do it with excellence because He's pleased with it, and we want to serve Him in excellence. But it's not accepted on how good we are. So let's keep that in mind. So on instruments, right? Looking upward, loud praise, laughing, prayer. Worship, you could be standing in prayer worshiping God. In procession and pageantry, rejoicing with gladness, with a joyful noise, with a serving heart, shouting, singing with a new song. Sometimes we'll do that. We'll be in between songs. We'll be making a transition. And then we'll just sing a new song, which would be a song from our heart. It's not written lyrics. It's not part of the songs that we've practiced. It's just we'll get onto a chord progression as far as the worship team. And then we'll just, God, you're worthy of our praise. We long to exalt you. We love you, Lord. And you're just singing a new song, whatever's on your heart. An expression of where you're at with God. Perfectly fine. Perfectly okay. In silence. Perfectly okay. Sitting, speaking, in spiritual songs. We are a charismatic or a Pentecostal, full gospel church is what Pastor Charles would call it. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that the gifts are for today. We believe that there is tongues, there's speaking in tongues, there's praying in tongues. I have my prayer language. Some of you have a prayer language. Oftentimes, you'll hear somebody in their prayer language while prayer is going on and while they're worshiping. Just worshiping. That's acceptable. That's acceptable here at New Life. Okay? But if you're doing it in a way, like I said, to where it's very loud and you're drawing attention to yourself and pulling people out of God's presence, you know, that's improper. There's a balance that in our heart we have to seek the Spirit in that moment to the direction that He wants to give. In stillness and in standing. With thanksgiving, we worship in waiting. There are so many different ways that we can take our intimate relationship with God that we have on a 24/7 basis that we bring into the corporate setting that we need to be free to be able to express it. And we want to express it. So if you at any time, while we're doing worship, feel a nudging to express that in a certain way, and you discern in your heart that it's going to be an expression that will add to the glorification and add to the honoring moment of Christ, then enter into it. You're free to enter into it. If it's going to be something that's going to distract and take away, then you're going to want to just kind of stand there quietly and not be a distraction so that things are done orderly and God is glorified and God is magnified. So this is our purpose and our mission and on how we accomplish our purpose. And I want to fuel, as the worship pastor, I want to fuel that more as this year moves on and as we continue to grow, as more people come in. I want our church to be free to express our love and our adoration and our devotion for Him in whatever way God puts on our hearts. The beauty in worship when we're just in His presence and there's music that's playing and He's here and He's touching hearts. It's His manifest presence that changes us. And we want to see that. We encourage that. In ways that are done in order. And if you happen to do something out of order, we won't in that moment come to you and rebuke you in that moment. We won't embarrass you that way. So there's another warning or another encouragement that I want to share with you. If we're worshiping and somebody does something that Tom and I or Andre or Donna as pastors and elders believe was out of order, we won't bring the service to a halt and embarrass you. You know, we'll allow the service to continue. And then when the service is over, we'll come over to you and in love put our arm around you and say, your expression maybe could have gone this direction, which would have honored and glorified God. Instead, if you see, when you did this, this is what happened. And we'll try to school and train and encourage and build up and lift up and not tear down. There are times where we may stop the service, and we had to at one point when our two friends came in 10 years ago, and the lady stood up here and prophesied, and then we kicked her off, and then she went into the back and tackled Pastor and kicked him and jumped on somebody, jumped on. Oh, that was, it was right after camp. We came home from camp. I don't know. It was. She threw a rock through the window. Yeah. 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 Yeah, we can talk about this later. This was 15 years ago, 14 years ago. She jumped on top of Earl Mattern. She was prophesying that her and the woman who came with her, they were the two witnesses. And since we didn't accept their prophecy and we were stifling them, that this church is going to be condemned and everybody in it's going to burn in hell. It was like, wow, this is really crazy. So we took her to the back, and the guys went to the back, and she stood up on a chair, prophesied some more, and they went back and said, you can't do that. And she jumped right on one of our elders. And then she took Pastor and like this and just went, boom, like that. And Charles was like, ugh. So we took her outside, and demon manifested itself out there and got in my face, and I dealt with that in the spiritual realm. And she rightly picked up a rock and threw it right through the window. And then the police showed up. When she threw the rock through a window, Ernest was out there, and he handcuffed her right away. And then just then the police pulled in and took her away and arrested her. And there are times when we will stop the service. If the urgency demands it, if something goes on that's way out of order, we're not going to let that continue. We can't let that continue. Something like that. So, I mean, we've been in this church for 30 years, right? That's only happened once, to where we had to actually deal with something. Like, we had a lot of visitors that day, too, because it was like the week after camp, and all the kids from other churches came because we were inviting them over our house for a picnic, and they're like, well, we love your church. Does that happen all the time? Let's stand and pray, please. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of freedom. You're a God of liberty. You're a God that has drawn us out of darkness into your light. You have revealed to us the truth of your word that Lord, you don't want us to continue to live to ourselves, but to live for you. So, Lord, we just continue with a heart of surrender to you, Lord God, to ask that you would continue to reveal yourself to us in great ways. Confound us in our intellect, astound us with your glory, pardon me. And Father, just allow us the privilege of seeing you for who you truly are, acknowledging who we truly are in desperate, desperate need for a Savior. Lord, in Jesus' name, we love you so dearly. We love you so deeply. And as we join together in corporate worship, may we be free to express that love, that adoration, so that as the worship team on the platform starts to bring forth the music and the worship, that we would just be facilitators, we would be instigators, we would instigate the entire congregation and prod them to be the worship team, to be the worshipers, to be the ones driving the worship service, because you've called us all together to worship you. It's not just the worship team. It's all of us lifting you up. It's all of us together declaring your goodness, ascribing to you the glory that's due your name, allowing your manifest presence to move among us, that your gifts would be released, your church would be encouraged, your people would be built up, and we would be strengthened in you. Lord, it's what we desire. It's what we long for. It's your church to be built, your kingdom to be built. Use New Life Church in this way and release the congregation, Lord, to apprehend the worship service and own it and just worship you from their hearts, Lord. We want the entire building to be this expression shooting through the atmosphere where you have no choice to be distracted because something is happening at New Life Church that is drawing your attention, that is causing your glory to fall into this place because of the hearts that are rent towards you. So, Lord, not just in the worship service, but how we serve one another, how we treat one another, how we love one another. That's primarily where it really needs to be on a one-to-one individual basis. And then when we come together corporately for the 30 minutes to sing, that's just another expression of it that just gets fueled by our individual intimacy. So, Lord, we commit to you our hearts one-on-one. Change us, renew us, make us more like you, Lord God. And make this church what you want it to be for this area as the part of the body for what you called it to be, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We still got coffee and stuff on the other side, right? Okay, so there's fellowship on the other side. There's coffee and Danishes and stuff to eat. So don't run out quickly. Get to know one another. Hugs and, you know, all that good stuff. So fellowship.